Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Happy Friday, guys. This is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hi, everyone.
So bugs, ticks, mosquitoes, everything is officially back out. And actually, where you and I live in Pennsylvania, it's like the highest rates of tick-borne illnesses now, according to the CDC. So thought bugs might be a good topic for
this week. It's appropriate. And I was already thinking about what I was going to get out and buy because we're starting to eat dinner on the porch. So this is going to be a helpful one for me. I'm looking forward to your recommendation.
Yeah. So I definitely want to talk through like things to consider when you're figuring out what you should use. Talk about the mainstream options, some more natural options, and, you know, so that everybody can kind of figure out what works for them based on where they are, who they are, what they're going to go do. I definitely, kind of similar to our sunscreen episode, I want to just give like a quick little disclaimer because I do see this as a preventative measure that, you know, if you don't do something, if you do the wrong thing, there can be adverse effects. So, you know, hear what we're saying, listen to the options that we're laying out, figure out what's right for you. You know, of course, when it comes to bugs and kind of illnesses and things that they may carry, protection is always just the best thing, protecting yourself in that scenario. And even if you do choose to you know, use a bug spray of some sort, you should always check yourself and when you come indoors from any kind of like big outdoor activity. So just I think my disclaimer is, you know, figure out what's right for you for the situation that you're in. And that may vary as well based on where you live or where you're going on vacation.
Makes sense.
So what are we drinking with today's topic?
So today we've got a bit of a spicy margarita mocktail. I feel like I always miss my spicy drinks when I'm not having alcohol. And I feel like if you add a little bit of spice and something a little bit more interesting, you don't even miss it.
Yeah.
So cheers.
Cheers.
So we've got a sponsor today, Epic. They provide a huge digital library of more than 25,000 high quality popular children's books, videos, quizzes, and even more for kids in grades K through 6 or 12 and under.
I think one of my favorite things about Epic is kind of having at your fingertips, like any specific topic. So obviously we've got books in the house. We've got, you know, books on our iPad that we can access. And we've got our books that either we've purchased or from the library. But like, say my kid comes home, like right now, they're like super into learning about the solar system. Like I can like very quickly pull something up. And if they decide that, you know, they don't want to learn about the solar system anymore, I haven't like spent the money on a book that that's on my shelf now that they won't touch. So it's been really awesome for kind of supplemental learning from things that they're doing in school.
Yeah. And for my preschooler, I can get things that maybe have less of a learning twist, but they're all my childhood favorites. So like you think Berenstain Bears, like the Ramona series, Magic School Bus, all the things we grew up reading.
Yeah.
And they have these read to me book options for preschoolers that haven't yet figured out the whole reading thing. And it's different than an audiobook. So it's picture based. And every time they flip a page, it reads whatever's on the page to them. So it's kind of just a nice way for them to not get into an app or a game or a TV show, but something that they can do independently, which I love.
Yeah. And it's kind of great. Like the piece that you mentioned too about like, if your kid's going to be on an iPad, let's let them be doing this because it's also safe, right? It's not app based. There's no fear of them like buying something that you don't want them to buy or accessing something that you don't want them to access. It's all safe. It's all for kids. It's all appropriate.
And no more coming over to me saying, can we buy this this enhancement or this addition to the app? There are no in-app purchases.
None.
I love that feature. None.
And it's interesting, too. Like, my kids are about to turn 5. They're kind of on the cusp of starting to learn to read and put sounds together and things like that in school. So this like, midway between the read-to-me option and then being able to kind of, like, start to sound out words, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
And for you especially, each kid can have their own profile.
Yes.
So they can log on to their specific profile and have their book saved. And it's specific to them, their reading level, what they like, their interests. And they can just log on, get those books, select their books, keep them in their own personal library. And it's all just, even if you have you know, a ton of kids on there, you've got the same monthly price.
Yeah, for sure. And the profile thing is so important. Like, I don't know if it's me having twins, but like my kids love having their own unique like thing. And I know if I look at like my son's library, it's gonna be like Star Wars things right now. And for my daughter, it's gonna be like My Little Pony things right now. Like they're totally offshooting in their own direction.
They're individuals, and so are their book habits.
Yeah, like in other apps that we have, they love picking like, what's my avatar gonna be for this profile? So anyway, if you are a parent, if you are a teacher, if you've got kids in your life, you know, for Zoe, for you, your niece, this is a great thing to have on hand.
And Epic is normally about $7.99 per month, which when I think about how much I spend on like just books she's going to read for a little amount of time on Amazon, it's a pretty decent deal. But they're giving our listeners 2 full months free. So 2 months of free books for your kids. All you need to do is visit Epic, getepic.com, and enter code CRUNCHY when you sign up for your subscription. And that's just 2 free months. So you go to getepic.com and use code CRUNCHY, C-R-U-N-C-H-Y. So this topic is super appropriate for us because we just came back from Lady Camp.
Yeah.
Which you've heard us talk about in a couple of episodes, I think. It's this women's retreat in the Pocono Mountains where you get away, you go to a true summer camp. So where you went as kids. And you do things like yoga, different workshops. There's a lot of just kind of reconnecting, spending time with like-minded women, and it's a lot of fun. So we thought we'd just give a quick recap of our weekend before we launch into the episode.
Yeah, I think it's kind of this is our second year of going, and I think it is now tradition that it is rained out every year.
Rainy and pretty cold. I think it was in the 40s or 50s the entire time we were there. But I have to admit, when we found out the weather, we were all kind of like, actually, it's pretty appropriate. Like, we're ready. We're ready for this. We're ready for boots and sleeping bags and fires.
Because I think the thing that I found last year and again this year is when everyone's just kind of like cold and wet, nobody cares what they look like. And it's just less time spent on that type of stuff and more time spent connecting enjoying. And talking and enjoying. Like, we're all cold and wet and look like crap. It's fine. And
one of the things that I did find funny, though, is they specifically switched the location this year because last year, everybody was very, very cold and they wanted to make sure that we had heat. But of course, we get a message the morning we're leaving. We're supposed to leave at like 8:30 or something. And we get a message and they're out of power. There was tornadoes in the area. The power went out and they were having trouble restoring it. And so what does that mean? No heat.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows what that means, but it would definitely mean no heat. They were trying to figure out if they could even have the weekend. If you haven't heard our episode with Tammy, she's an absolute gem and she's one of the owners of a Rise Gathering. And I just can't imagine what was going through their head. We felt so sorry for them. But they rallied. They made it happen.
And the weekend went off.
It went on, yeah.
And if you hear hoarseness in my voice, it's because I danced and sang my face off.
And it was so much fun. So a couple of things that we wanted to share. We attended some workshops, so we can just sort of share with you a high level of what we did. And then maybe just our takeaways from the weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
So the thing we always love about as we go, of course, with our, there's a group of 4 of us and we just all bunk together and chat and enjoy each other's company. And that part is always my absolute favorite. But then in addition, we had a chance to do a Beyonce yoga experience. We did.
Which I am still feeling.
Oh, I am too.
Days later.
Sore top to bottom. But that was really neat. It was a kind of high energy yoga experience set to Beyonce music, as well as some, you know, just connecting to your inner queen within.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. There's the facilitators here in Philadelphia, so maybe we can link to her class. But it was really cool.
Yeah.
It was different than what I was expecting, but it was invigorating and I just got a great workout.
Yeah. And I have like not moved my body in a little while. And there's something about being in a class where you don't really think about stopping. You're like, I'm not going to stop. Everybody else is still going. So we got a good workout and it felt good.
It did feel good. It did feel good. And that was actually on our first day there because they still weren't sure whether or not we were going to get power in the camp. So we got to do one of our workshops a little early, which was special. That evening, we did kind of a welcome exercise where we did yoga on the beach of the lake. Beach of the lake, does that make sense?
I don't know.
We'll go with it. And that, again, was really special. There was two facilitators that each kind of brought their own style to the yoga practice. And we did it with the entire camp. And it was just a nice way to sort of bring the weekend or start the weekend and kick things off. So I thought that was a nice way to do it.
Yeah.
So the next day, actually, Larissa and I had a fantastic workshop that touched on a lot of things that we touch on in the podcast. And it was specific about plant-based nutrition. You want to talk a little bit about what you thought?
Yeah. There wasn't necessarily so many things in there that I think you and I haven't been like in tune to about plant-based nutrition. But the facilitator, I just really enjoyed her in general because mm-hmm. I love hearing people's stories and how they got to making any kind of health related changes in their life. And then like everyone's got their own kind of like spin and like tips and tricks on, you know, what makes it work for them or how they overcome like little things that happen to be obstacles for their specific experience. So I found that to be really interesting. And Caroline's the facilitator is a certified plant-based nutritionist. So mm-hmm. I actually would love to have her on the podcast as well and kind of maybe reiterate some of the information that she talked us through. So I really enjoyed that. It was a no cooking class. We didn't cook anything. Mm-mm. It was more about kind of talking about her story, how she got there, how you can make small changes for yourself if kind of you're looking to fully go to a plant-based diet or potentially, you know, make small changes to be more plant-based rather than fully vegan. So
yeah,
super enjoyed that.
Yeah, she was excellent. I think she would be a really engaging guest. So hopefully we can get her. But one thing that really struck me is part of the reason that she's gone down this journey is growing up, she had really extensive allergies, actually, that mirror Claire's in a lot of ways. And she outgrew a lot of those, but she sort of took the lessons of your body being sensitive to what you eat and translated that into how she lives her life today.
Yeah.
So not only is it wonderful to hear stories of people that have allergies and outgrow them, it's also just nice to see somebody feeling empowered by their allergies, which I thought was really fantastic. And just overall, I think a good session. And yeah, I liked that one a lot.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
One other workshop we took, we won't dive into too much detail on, but we did take, it was essentially about sort of reconnecting to your body and, we'll call it a sex workshop.
I think it was sexual empowerment.
Sexual empowerment. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Whatever that means to you.
Yeah. And the reason I won't go too much into detail about it is I think that ultimately we found it wasn't what we had expected. And so I don't think we had a ton of takeaways.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
We won't delve into too many details there. And then on Saturday, we had a full camp dance party, which when you get a bunch, I think there was about 110, 115 women at the camp together with a DJ and playing great music, things go crazy. Women love to dance.
Totally.
And so we danced the night away and that was a good workout in itself.
It's so freeing. Like it's like the best way to describe it. Like you do not, again, like you don't care what you look like. Some people can dance. I cannot. Like, and it doesn't matter. It's just, I don't know. It's this like release and this mm-hmm. thing you don't get to do often.
No.
Like, and it's not about like age and it's not about like anything else, but like we're not going clubbing.
No, this is not
on
a clubbing
any kind
crowd.
Of basis, right? But like just to like hear music you love, be in an environment where you feel totally comfortable to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just feels good. And now I have no voice.
Yeah. And the women ranged in age from 16 to I'd say in their 70s.
Yeah.
And so it was just a fun time, just a fun time to like let loose and just enjoy company, feel like there was absolutely no judgment. And that was just that was just awesome.
So much fun as always. And of course, like we met some women that mm-hmm. like we know we'll stay in contact with. And that's always a really fun experience. Like you find people that are either, you know, you connect with in some way based on kind of like things in life or things that you're interested in and what they do. Like I'm always fascinated by people's stories that are kind of not apparent from just meeting them, but then you start to get to talk to them more and you find out they're doing these incredible things. So
yeah,
always a fun time.
It is. And often some of the best times we have are in the bunk where, you know, how often do you get to sleep in a cabin in twin beds?
Yeah, or
you
sneak in wine to camp that discourages it.
Wine, which we do every year, but they know we do this.
They know and they embrace us and love us anyway.
Yes, I'm sure it's not their favorite thing about us, but it is something that they let us do. Like,
you want some wine? Find those girls with the silly matching shirts. They have wine in their bunk.
They definitely have wine and a lot to share. It's a good way to make friends, we've discovered.
Don't teach people how to make friends that way, Austin.
But so I'd say, you know, we just look forward to this weekend every year. But I think often we have takeaways, things that we want to bring back to our life. And we, of course, discuss this in length as a group. But, you know, I'll share mine first. Yeah. So a couple of things. You've heard it from us a million times in this podcast. While we are relatively good with nutrition, we usually fail in the fitness department. And there was a lot of just moving your body, yoga, dancing on this weekend. And I just wanted to have my takeaway be how good that feels, how good it feels to just be in motion and working your body. And you just feel more awake, you feel more confident. And I'm trying to keep that going. But on the same token, we tend to do guiding principles because we are very bizarre for Lady Camp. And
we're consultants.
So yes, we do guiding principles. And one of our guiding principles this year and last was no negative body talk. So it's easy to sort of get into a funk of feeling pretty bad about your body, even if you don't think you do, you might have something negative to say about your body.
There's something to being back in that camp environment where you're changing in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. It like takes you back to when you're like 13.
It does. Yes. And so I'm trying to take that guiding principle home in life. And so, you know, getting rid of my negative body thoughts and talk and just sort of embracing my growing body as I, I'm heading into my 7th month of pregnancy. Seven.
The months and weeks don't really jive for me. Really fast.
It's gone really fast. I know.
Whoa.
I know. So I'm just trying to.
I'm like, this is about me. This is how fast it's gone for me.
Can you please slow down your pregnancy?
Calm down.
I'm not ready. So that's the other kind of big takeaway for me. How about you?
So I think three things for me, some of which you touched on. I think for me, I've definitely been trying to get into some sort of workout. And I think I found a new one that I'm really into. Which we can actually share about maybe on another episode. But we went and we did this yoga class, the Beyonce yoga class, which was like 90 minutes long. It wasn't even like a normal length yoga class. And I got through it and I didn't die. And now I have all these like aches and pains, but like the good kind. Mm-hmm. And so I have this motivation, at least in the moment, to kind of keep it going now that I've come home. So I think that's one thing for me for sure. I think coming out of the plant-based workshop, Bill and I, like, obviously we've gone completely mm-hmm. plant-based. We've done things in between. We're always kind of like changing things around. And I would say in the last couple of weeks, things have just been crazy. And it's not that we've been not eating healthy, but we have veered off of being more plant-based than not just because of what's been easier. Because it takes some work and it takes some thought. And so I remember like catching up with him while we were at away for the weekend and saying like, I just got out of this workshop. I want to go back to plant-based. And he's like, me too. So I don't know that we're like 100% going back to the other side, but we are definitely going to kind of get back to being more conscious about being more plant-based than not.
And how awesome that you guys are on the same page. Because what's really challenging is when you're not.
So much easier. And with the kids, I think there's still some manipulating kind of to be done there in terms of how do we take the meals that we make for them and make it meals that they will eat. They're still kids. But I think, yeah, like to be on the same page with your spouse, your partner on kind of the foods that you want to eat, it's much, much easier. I think the last piece that I feel like I have come away with this from each of the times that we've gone, but when we go away, you know, we kind of lose our need to kind of like do all of our day-to-day responsibilities. So there's just like, there's more downtime and there's more time to think. And I think I always come away with perspective of what's important, what's not important. And I come away with this need, and I remember telling you guys this, you know, when you hear me complaining, I want you to ask me what I'm going to do about it. Like, I think I get kind of tangled up in the day to day. I get overwhelmed by all the things that need to be done. And I sometimes just kind of like, I want to like sit in my misery if I'm like really upset about something. But I don't actually want to do that. I want to either kind of like, I want to be able to step back, look at it, what it is that's like upsetting me in that moment and say like, can I do anything about it? And if so, like, what am I going to do about it? And if I can't change it, then it is what it is. Or I don't want to complain and I don't want to be upset and I don't want to be in a situation where I'm just in the situation with no out. So yeah. I always kind of come away with perspective. And part of the perspective too is sometimes realizing that the things that have been bugging me are not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I think that's last a really and kind of biggest one for me.
Yeah. So all in all, just a really nice weekend. And we'll do some, we'll link in the show notes some of the past episodes that we've done on Lady Camp because we didn't want to spend too much time sort of digesting it. But if you have any questions for us, maybe post them either on show notes or anywhere on our social media. We'd be happy to answer.
Yeah, we'd be happy to talk more about it. But another thing about Lady Camp is that literally we got there. The weather was like okay, but we were still, you know, in full pants and sneakers and like long sleeves.
I think you were
and things
in flip
like that.
Flops at that moment.
Okay, I must have been in flip flops. But like literally immediately, I got bit by bugs. I got bit by bugs on both ankles because it was the only like piece of skin that was showing. And then I think I got bit on my face.
All before we could even think about applying.
I am
spray.
Just like one of those people. I'm one of those people. And so I want to talk about that too, because there are like little things that make people more susceptible to bites. And
oh, interesting. So, like, me so what is it about me?
Well, you're so sweet. You're just so sweet.
Well, thanks.
But let's talk about kind of why it's important to talk about bugs right now, because so tick-borne illnesses in general are on the rise. Mm-hmm. I mentioned at the top of the episode where we are in Pennsylvania, the CDC is reporting that it's basically the highest rates in any state. And we know that, you know, we know kind of the most common thing is like Lyme disease, but there's other kind of viral bacterial infections that can happen from different types of ticks that carry different types of things. And, you know, most things are treatable, but prevention is truly kind of the best thing because who wants something to treat?
Exactly. And sometimes, especially with Lyme's disease, there's risk of it being misdiagnosed. There's risk of it not being caught.
Some people get that like big bullseye and some people don't.
Yep.
And so.
And there's like Lyme's is a lot worse than I think people kind of make it out to be. There's some considerable things that happen to Lyme's. There's neurological Lyme's that can affect your brain. There's
for sure.
Better to prevent.
For sure. Can I tell you a really disgusting story?
Sure.
So this was last year. I was like sitting on the floor near our TV and I saw on the floor what appeared to be a raisin.
Oh, God.
And I picked it up I almost ate it because being a mom, that's like what I'm in the habit of doing now. I'm like, what is this? I don't know. I'll smell it and then maybe lick it.
Oh my God.
But anyway, I picked this thing up and I put it in between my fingers and I'm squishing it and it's squishy. And I'm like, is this a raisin? Is this a raisin? I show it to my husband. He's like, that is a tick full of blood. And I was like, ah!
Like, oh my God.
I couldn't like erase that, like,
and the feel of it.
Full body, like. Like just goosebumps everywhere. I could not stop thinking, like the thought of I might have smelled it or licked it or put it in my mouth.
But you didn't,
I did
right?
not. I okay. did not. Okay, it did not. Thank God. But we don't know how it got in there. We don't know why it was like on the floor, and it obviously like was full of blood and detached. And it was a deer tick. And so we think it was probably on the dog.
Yeah.
But like nobody knows. But everybody's okay.
Well, that's good.
But so gross.
Oh, ticks are disgusting.
So the other thing that was really, really big last year is Zika. And I know we've kind of stopped hearing about it.
But it's not gone away.
It has not gone away. The good news is that I don't believe there's been any cases reported in the U.S. in 2018, but I do think that there's still definitely hot spots outside of the U.S. Mm-hmm. I'll actually link, the CDC has a map, so you can kind of put where you're going and they'll tell you if you're going to a hot spot, because I think that that's important to know. And then if for anybody that may not be familiar, because some people just aren't. You know, we talked about kind of Lyme and other type of viral bacterial infections being associated with different types of ticks, Zika specifically, from mosquitoes. And it affects people differently. I think for most of the population, you would get like some severity of like what I would call like flu-like symptoms. Mm-hmm. So like maybe a fever, maybe headaches, maybe joint pain. But the big thing that was of greatest concern that was coming out was they found a link between, you know, pregnant mothers who were bit by infected mosquitoes and microcephaly and other kind of like brain focused issues that are not, you know, treatable.
Yeah.
Or like you can't, well, they're, you can live with them, but, you know, you can't reverse it. You can't make it go away. So
when I was pregnant with Claire, when this was kind of at its fever pitch. And so there was a couple of trips that we had planned that I was unable to go on because of Zika.
Yeah. So, I mean, and sometimes it's making that choice. So I think no reported cases in the U.S. does not mean you should not protect yourself against it, but definitely kind of check out if you're going somewhere, whether or not it's something to be mindful of. So I'll definitely link where you can find that information. But so like back to this, like, how come I always get bit? Mm-hmm. How come you get bit?
And it's one of those things where I will be in a group of people and I'll be like, oh, guys, we should probably go inside. I'm getting bit like crazy. And they're like, oh, I haven't even been bit once.
100% me. And so myself and my son always get bit, and Bill and Melina, totally fine.
So what, why? Why is that?
So they say about like 20% of the population is like extra delicious to bugs. But it could be like a lot of different things. I think the most like known thing is like about your blood. So type O is the most like, are you O?
I'm O.
I don't know what I am.
How is do you that, not know? Do you I, not give blood?
So every time I do something like that, or every time I have an opportunity to know what my blood type is, I find out and then I forget.
But if you,
I'm not O.
I was going to say, you're not O because the Red Cross would be calling you. I get called daily.
I think I'm A, B, something. I think. I don't know. Is that so stupid? I don't know.
No, a lot of people don't know. It's helpful to know because you, even on your iPhone, there's an emergency option that will pull up all your medical info, like your name, your blood type, your birthday, and your contact, like emergency contact.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend it.
Huh. All right.
So get your blood type. It's important.
All right. I'm sure I could just like ask the doctor next time I go. So the other thing is carbon dioxide, which is interesting. So the more you exhale, the more bugs are drawn to you. So if you are a more heavier set person, if you are a pregnant person, you are exhaling more and therefore bugs are drawn to you more. Have you found that you are bit more when pregnant?
Good question.
Maybe.
I guess I've been, so both times I mean,
you're just always pregnant, so who knows?
I don't remember what it's like to not be pregnant. no, I'm kidding. I'm just bit so much in general that I can't even tell you if it's more when I'm
just
pregnant or not.
Bit, so, and maybe if you're someone that always gets bit, then it's just like worse when you're pregnant. Yeah. I don't know.
Although I don't know if I should be offended that you were like larger people and pregnant people. Do those two things go hand in hand in your mind?
You're larger.
Thanks.
Than you used to be.
Now I have a you know how I said no negative body thoughts? You just ruined it.
Sorry about that. So the other thing is around sweat. So like if you're someone who works out a ton, not us.
Or if you're just sweaty.
If you're just a sweatier individual, there's like higher levels of different like acids that your body produces, and the smells of those acids and your sweat can draw bugs to you. And then some of it's just like bacteria in your body and the way that that presents itself in a smell that you don't realize or I don't realize, but bugs can smell. So you and I, very delicious.
Got a lot of things stacked up against me. Typo, pregnant, yeah. Kind of a sweater.
Kind of a sweater.
And then I guess genetics.
Yeah.
The heck.
I blame your parents for everything.
Well, I mean, it's just minus a safe, it's a safe bet. No, not their fault. Not their fault.
So let's get into kind of how to protect yourself and specifically in terms of how to protect yourself with bug products. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about DEET specifically. And the way I kind of look at it is DEET is the most widely used commercial bug repellent. And so I kind of want to just do a comparison of DEET and kind of other things. So DEET is effective for ticks, for mosquitoes, for like lots of little bugs that I don't even know what they are, like nosiums and chiggers and flies.
I think most of those are, what's the term I'm looking for? Like not street terms, but slang.
Okay.
So we call them nosiums.
Yeah.
And I think chigger is also.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, I think that those are like the tiny, tiny little bugs.
Like the gnats?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know.
They're not like gnats, but like they're tiny little things. And that's why we call them nosiums, because all of a sudden you get bit and you never saw anything on you.
Oh.
Nosium.
That just clicked for me. anyway, it protects against most common things, but ticks and mosquitoes kind of being the two of greatest concern. The products on the market in the US specifically, so they can come with I would say probably the lowest you'll see is like 10% DEET to 100% DEET.
Okay.
And the effectiveness is basically based on the concentration, how long it'll last on your body. So like, I think they say 100% DEET lasts 12 hours versus 50% DEET will be like 6 hours. So let's talk about kind of why DEET might not be so great. It's considered a plasticizer, so it can kind of almost like change the compound of like the things it touches. So like if you get DEET on plastics, on leather, on vinyl, on like different things that almost have like a plastic in them in some way, it can stain them, melt them, change them, ruin them. And studies, there's been a ton of studies, EPA studies on rats around DEET. And they can affect, like they've shown, they can affect your nervous system. It can make you dizzy. It can give you something, you know, like simple as a headache. It can be difficulty breathing. It could be on a lot of different things. Like could be. And yeah. It also depends too. Like you have to think about, again, 10 to 100% is a
the huge
very
range.
Wide range. How often you're using it, all of that stuff. I specifically follow Canadian guidelines.
Oh, yay.
So Canada actually only allows no more than 30% in their products. So again, in the US, you can have up to 100%. Canada will only let you have up to 30%.
Because of those studies.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's interesting because when I compare Canada and the US, not even in what's allowed, but what's recommended. So Canada's like, you can only have up to 30. We recommend you go somewhere in the 20s.
Hmm.
And the US is like, we recommend greater than 20.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
So,
greater than 20 up to 100.
Whatever you want, just more than 20. And Canada's like, try to be in the 20s.
Oh, interesting.
So it's interesting. So I'll definitely like give you my thoughts about all the ones that we talk through towards the end. But kind of that's my very kind of high level. Like, here's the good stuff about it. Works really well. Here's some potential downsides. Other products that are popular in the market and competitors of, and this is definitely not exhaustive, but probably the most easily and more readable things that you can find, picaridin. So this is another chemical compound. It comes in at most a concentration of 20%, and it gives you 8 hours of protection, up to 8 hours for that 20%. It's known to be as effective as DEET for everything that DEET is effective for, so ticks and mosquitoes, most notably, but it's actually been shown to be a little bit better for things like flies.
Okay.
And the studies that have been done, and I will say there's not as many as DEET, but there's a significant amount enough for me to kind of comfortably say that it protects like DEET without the adverse effects of DEET.
So this is, would be kind of your number one recommendation.
Yes. Yes. And it doesn't damage fabrics, similar to the way that DEET does. There's another compound called IR3535.
They need a catchier name.
Yeah, it's kind of long and strange, isn't it? So it comes in concentrations of 10 to 30%, and then you get 4 to 8 hours of protection based on kind of where you go in that concentration. It could be slightly less effective than DEET, but really has also not shown many adverse effects, although like it could be irritating to your eyes if you like shove it in your eye or it gets sprayed in your eye or, okay, you know, it's in the air. It could be irritating if you're someone with kind of like greater sensitivity. But, you know, there is, and I specifically, like when I think of bug spray too, I think about me, I think about my kids. There is no anything from the Academy of Pediatrics on this product. They just like say nothing about it. They don't say like all these other ones. They'll say like when you can use DEET on a child or when you can use picaridin on a child. They just like say nothing about it.
Is it because it's lesser known or why would that be?
I don't know. They just do not address it. So for me, it's not a recommendation.
Okay. That's fair.
There's also something that's pretty readily known and I think misinterpreted is oil of lemon eucalyptus.
Okay.
So people often market this as botanical, but it's not at all. It's a chemically synthesized version of lemon eucalyptus oil. It is not botanical. It is a chemical. It comes in a concentration of up to 30, and so it's up to 6 hours of protection in that. Many people have skin reactions to it.
Okay.
And so I will tell you, many products, again, if we go back to kids, so for DEET, they'll say you shouldn't use it for a baby younger than 2 months, for example.
Okay.
Canada says not for under 6 months. Just to give you the difference between US and Canada. For oil of lemon eucalyptus, they say don't put it on a child under 3 years old.
So this may be just in general
this
is not
for
a great
me
recommendation.
Is like, just don't use it. I just.
And that's, this is the first one you've said that flat out about.
Yes. Yes. Because I do want to talk about some of these other ones and kind of when it's appropriate to. And then the last one is the most natural option, and it is true essential oils. There's actually a lot of studies because essential oils have been continuing to explode year over year, and people have been kind of finding new and kind of unique, or, you know, people have been finding new ways to use essential oils. And so there's a lot of studies, and studies that have actually shown that geranium oil by itself or geranium oil in combination with other oils can be as effective as DEET.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. And it's super natural. And
does geranium oil have a scent, like a nice scent as
it
well?
It has a lovely scent. Huh. And I think most of the, like some of the other ones like eucalyptus and spearmint, like I think those are the types that you would mix into it, all have a lovely scent and smell great together.
And often bug sprays smell terrible. So that's kind of a nice change.
But the really big downside is they have to be applied more often. So an essential oil blend, like depending on how exposed you are, where you are, like it all depends on a little bit of that and the concentration of the essential oils. But like, you might have to reply in a half an hour.
Oh, wow.
Up to, I would say, like 2 to 3 hours is probably your max before you have to reapply. So, I mean, there's a big downside.
Yeah.
That's a big downside for most that want convenience. So those are the big ones. And looking back, I kind of want to give you my perspective and a couple of little tips around it. And I'd be interested, too, in hearing kind of what you plan to do this summer for yourself and for Claire. So. From me, I, again, follow the Canadian guidelines. I don't think that you should put anything on a child that's 6 months or younger. But with
same
the caveat.
Same with suntan lotion, right? It's similar.
Right. With the caveat that, and it's the same as suntan lotion, talk to your doctor. If you are going somewhere with risk, you may need to balance the risk of putting something on your child to protect them from bugs or, you know, the risk of being unprotected.
Yeah.
Same thing as sunscreen. So most of the bug sprays that you pick up, all the types that I mentioned, will tell you like what age they recommend. So again, I think DEET is like under 2 months. I think similar to picaridin and all those. I say 6 months. And I think all of this is about assessing your situation. I don't want to use DEET, but I also think the possible side effects of being bit by a deer tick or being in a place of like a hot spot for ticks, the possible side effects of DEET, using it once or two times or three times or whatever, are less severe than the probable issues that come with being bit by a tick.
Yeah.
So you have to assess your situation. You know, whatever you use, I would also say DEET, Picaridin, all of it, they all come in an aerosol and they all come in an air spray. So if you, no matter what you use, if you can also remove this idea of also spraying not only kind of chemical into the air, but propellant from an aerosol spray, and instead do an air spray where it's just kind of spraying the product, that's just a little bit healthier as well.
And it doesn't have any change in the ability to spray the product. Like, I don't feel like you need an aerosol for this.
No, I think some people are just kind of, you know, you push the aerosol and it's a continuous spray.
Yeah.
And I think people find that to be a little bit more convenient, or almost feel like it is better coverage than kind of spraying and moving down your body.
Hmm.
But it does come with the added propellant that's in an
aerosol.
We
always use the air spray, so I guess I never even thought about aerosol for bug spray.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't see what the value would be.
The mainstreams are all kind of a continuous. It's the fact that it's continuous.
Hmm.
So of the products that I've mentioned, I veer towards Picaridin because, again, I need something that works. I'm going to get bit. My kid's going to get bit. I need something that works, but I want to choose something that has the least amount of side effects.
It'd be great if you could maybe post the ones that you use.
Yeah, and I'll actually tell you about, I use one very specific one, and essential oils as well. So I use Picaridin majority of the time, but it's like based on location. If I, like when we went to Lady Camp and we were at a campsite and we were like busy doing things all day, I'm going to opt for the Picaridin because it's going to give me the longest amount of protection. If I'm in my backyard, I might be using essential oils because I might not be out for very long and not need 8 hours of protection.
Yeah.
And whenever possible, I do want to choose a more natural option. And we'll talk about, too, like, you know, sometimes I use a spray made for or a essential oil made for repelling bugs. Sometimes I might just use geranium oil or, a eucalyptus oil by itself. And it really just depends on where I am and what the situation is.
And the duration.
Yes, very much so the duration. So the one that I use all of the time in terms of Picaridin is Sawyer Products insect repellent. So it's the highest rated by Consumer Reports. It comes in that spray bottle that we talked about instead of an aerosol. So you can, sometimes I spray it on and leave it on. Sometimes I spray it on and kind of rub it in. Again, really depends. And it's good for ticks, mosquitoes, other small bugs. Again, just as good as DEET. And then there's the flip side of it too, which is the essential oil blends. I wish I could like wholeheartedly recommend an essential oil-based like commercial product. There's none that, you know, I don't want to blast any companies because they work, but they don't work well enough for me. So I feel like I've tried a couple of the reputable brands. I didn't get bit as much as I expected to, but I got bit.
Okay.
So I think some of it too is when it's a commercial product and not a true essential oil blend, there's just other additives added to it that I feel like decrease effectiveness.
Yeah.
And so I there's none that I can recommend commercially from a commercial perspective, but everyone has a qualified aromatherapist near them, or everyone has like a little mom and pop shop that sells somebody's aromatherapy blends. And we happen to have a local aromatherapist to us. She goes by Dr. Frenchie. She is French, not a doctor, but formulates. So that's the name she goes by. And she makes blends. Like, she's not coming from like an MLM perspective where she's like doing anything with one specific brand. She has reputable brands that she works with in order to make specific blends for different things.
Okay.
And she happens to have tick blends, mosquito blends, even blends for like if you've already been bitten by a bug and it's just itching the crap out of you.
That's helpful.
And she has it in she has it in roller form. She has it in a spray form. And the thing that I really love is she makes different concentrations based on age. So what you get yourself would be different than what you would get for Claire. And it would protect you for the same amount of time. But like, why put like a greater concentration of oil on her when not necessary?
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So I really love that. So I would definitely check her out. I'll definitely link her for you. And also for anyone that chooses to kind of try anything out from her, you can use code Larissa for 10% off your order. But highly recommend it and can guarantee that the products that she's putting out are safe and from reputable brands and pure oils, which is really important. From a kind of just general tip perspective, I mean, if you are someplace where you are likely to get bit, you're going to Costa Rica or Florida.
Or even just a hike in the woods.
In the woods, wherever you are. Just cover up. It's really great to wear light-colored clothing because you can spot things more on yourself. But try to cover up as much of your body as you can. And of course, check yourself and your kids when you come in.
And there's ways to make like tick checks fun for kids. Like you can make it like a game. But
The spazzy kind where I do where I'm like, let me see you as soon as you come in.
I think the things that you always have to check where I'm sure everybody knows, but like check where there's any kind of constrictive clothing. So like often it's in like underwear where the underwear elastic sits or like sock elastic in hair behind your ears. Yes. You'll get a lot in any kind of creases of the skin. So those are the places you want to check.
Absolutely.
And especially where we are, like I remember growing up, like coming inside tick checks, and you had to get down and make sure you were safe, which often we weren't. There were often ticks on our clothes.
And it's interesting too. I feel like I do it less when we are here at home versus like we'll go visit Bill's dad, and he lives like in a really remote part where he's like near forests and stuff, and so we're constantly checking the kids, but like, I live on a golf course with really short grass, but I found that tick in my house, and I have actually in bed found a tick crawling on me, which is,
oh, that's the worst.
And
if you have animals, they will bring them in.
Yes. Like
they are just magnets.
For sure. And so I think that's a really important part too, is not only to protect your pets. So finding a spray that works for pets, because not only to protect the pet, but also make sure that they don't bring things into your family. Essential oil blends are fine for dogs, especially the ones that Dr. Frenchie makes. They're great. But you cannot use them on cats. It will literally kill cats.
And
I think some people don't know that. And I think dogs and cats are the most common pet in homes. So it's important to know.
Yeah.
So
tons of good stuff.
Yes. So I'm curious to hear kind of like what you'll do this year.
Yeah. So usually,
what did you do last year?
That's a good question. So
like, I don't know.
That's a good question. But for our porch, and so like when we're outside at our house, we do have citronella candles, which we didn't touch on citronella at all. Do you have thoughts there?
Yeah. So I mean, citronella is good for kind of like keeping things at bay. I know some of the commercial essential oil sprays that I've gotten before had citronella in it. I think it's not, I would say that from my experience, it's not enough by itself, but is good in supplement too.
Yeah. So yeah, we do citronella candles around the porch. And then we also do, we have like those torches, like we have torches around the property. And I believe they have a bit of citronella in them. And we find that to be really helpful. So
that's good to know
when
that
we're
works.
Outside. And then I guess we just tend to use, I always used the air spray. So I actually have never even thought about aerosol. But we just use your basic stuff off the shelf, whatever is there. So this year I'm going to be trying the picaridin because we used it at Lady Camp and I didn't get bitten once.
That's awesome.
Which we sat out by a lake for many, many hours.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I didn't get a single bite was pretty impressive. So I think I'm going to probably give your recommendation a try. And then especially with Claire, although she luckily, knock on wood, hasn't had a mosquito bite yet. So I'm hoping to keep it that way.
Yeah. And one thing, too, I wanted to mention is when I was working with Dr. Frenchy, she actually gave me some at-home recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll link those in show notes. If anyone wants to, if you've got essential oils at home and you want to make something yourself, like give it a try and see if it works.
Well, that's the other thing. I think I will get some essential oils because you think about even just doing outside dinners with girlfriends or something, having something that smells good.
Yeah.
Would be way better than having something
everyone
that
everyone smells like off.
I know. You just like, you can tell when people are wearing bug spray. It just has such a scent. And so I think I'd probably get that for things where I'm outside for a shorter period of time and I don't want to smell like bug spray.
For sure.
I like that idea.
And I'll also say, I mean, I think this is like a pretty big topic with a lot of nuance, especially because there's different concentrations of things. There's different scenarios that you'd use this in. If you guys have questions kind of specifically for your situation or specifically about a product that you use, let us know. We're happy mm-hmm. to take a look and at least give you our perspective if you're trying to make a choice between something. But we'll absolutely link everything for you in show notes, the products that we recommend, the at-home recipes, how you can get to Dr. Frenchy. She can absolutely ship anything to you if you're not local to us. But if you are super local to us, you can come pick it up from her. And she actually sells her products in a few stores in and around us. So we'll link everything for you. Obviously, our drink recipe will be on Allison's blog at silverlinedandwine.com. We are on all the social medias at Crunchy Cocktail Hour. So give us a follow.
And you can go back and take a look at some of our pictures from Lady Camp.
Yes, yes. We did some stories and some pictures. So if you're interested in seeing us, definitely check that out. And always subscribe if you like what you hear. Tell a friend. Spread the word. We so, so appreciate it. And if you have a few minutes of time, leave us a review. That definitely helps new people find us. And that's appreciated as well. We will see you next Friday.
Bye, everyone.